found in John chapter 1. I would like to read verses 10 through 13 of John chapter 1. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. May God add His blessing to that portion of His Word. Let's pray together. Our merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, what a blessed privilege it is to call You the great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father. And Lord, to know that You have not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. To know that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so high are Your mercies towards them that fear You. And Lord, truly, we do fear You. Lord, we fear You. And Lord, we're afraid to look anywhere but Thy dear Son as everything in our salvation. And Lord, truly, we trust and rely upon Him. Lord, I ask in Christ's name that He might be glorified at this time. We pray that You'd give us a true spirit of worship and that You would speak in power to our hearts. Lord, how we desire to hear from You. Lord, forgive us of our many sins. Cleanse us anew. Lord, give us a new and fresh view of Thy dear Son. We pray for Your continued blessing upon this assembly. We pray for Your hand upon Brother Mahan tonight as he preaches. And we pray for Your blessing on the services ahead. Lord, we pray for Your blessing on all Your people, wherever they meet. And Lord, truly, we say, Thy will be done in all things. Lord, we ask that if it could please You, if it would glorify Your Son, that You would grant those of our number who are sick, who are in affliction, we ask that Your blessing would be upon them. But Lord, what joy it gives us to know that as a Father pities His children, so You pity them that fear You. We give thanks. Now bless us for Christ's sake. In His name we pray. Amen. In verse 10 of our text, He was in the world. Now this is where I would like to begin this message, and this is where I would like to end this message. He. Who is He? He was in the world. Who is this One who was in the world? Now this One is clearly described in this passage of Scripture in John chapter 1. Look in verse 1. In the beginning. This is when God created the universe. There was a time when there was nothing. All there was God. There was no time. And then time began in the beginning. In the beginning was
the Word. You see, in the beginning, the Word already was. Now, this is speaking of the eternal Son of God. This one who never began to be. Now, I can't even fathom what it means to never have a beginning. But in the beginning, He already was. In the beginning was the Word. This is who He is, the Word. What's going on in my mind right now? The only way that you can know what's going on in my mind is by the Word that comes out of my mouth. Christ Jesus is the Word of God. He's the expression of the mind of God. All that God is seen in the Word. Not only is He the Word of God, what's it say next in verse 1? And the Word was God. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, the one born in Nazareth, is God Almighty. He is the God of glory. He is the one whom the universe cannot contain. And yet all the fullness of the Godhead resides in His body. This is the He of whom the text speaks. He is God. Verse 2 says the same. And this can only be said of Him. He's the same. You and I change every second. Up here, down here. He's always the same. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He is the only one truly who is worthy of this title, the same. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. This one who is, this one who is God, this one who is the Word of God, He is the one who made all things. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In verse 4, it says, in Him was life. And this is the He spoken of in our text. In Him was life. That means two things. First, He possesses life independently. You and I are so dependent. We're so needy. Our breath is in our nostrils and the Lord can just take it so quick. We're so needy. He has no needs. He has life independently. He is life. He's not alive. He is life. So much so that He says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you about it. He is life. Not only is He life in the sense that He is life as God is life because He is God, but He's life in this sense. My life before God right now is seated at the right hand of the Father. That is my life before God. His life really is my life. He is my standing before God. In Him was life. And the life, the only life that can be said of this life. The life was the light of men. He's the light that tells us three who's. In light of Him, I see who God is. He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. I see who man is, who I am in light of Him, and really only in light of Him. I see my own, what it is that I am, and I see who salvation is. In thy light shall we see light. Now this is the He spoken of in our text. And look what it says next in verse 10. He was in the world. Look down in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh
and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was in the world. Now, there was a time
when he was not in this world in the sense of being in the flesh. There was a time when he did not have a physical body. He's the eternal Son. He never began to be. But there was a time when he did not have flesh and bones the way you and I had. But when he came into this world, we read, the Word was made flesh. He was in the world as the man Christ Jesus. Bone of our bones and flesh of our flesh. He said, a body hast thou prepared me. He was made flesh. He came into the world. And he always will now be the man Christ Jesus. Let me repeat that. He always will be in the flesh. Right now, seated at the right hand of the Father, there's flesh and bones. The man, Christ Jesus. He came into this world in a body. And in this body, he perfectly kept God's holy law. You think of the sin and weakness that's passed through your mind in the last 24 hours. Never passed through his mind. He never sinned. He came into this world, the only holy man in this sense to ever live. He never sinned. He kept God's holy law perfectly. And yet, in the body of his flesh, he was nailed to that cross. Why? When he never, quote, sinned. Why? Why was he nailed to the cross? Because he was made sin as the great sin-bearing substitute. And on the cross, listen to me. Understand this. When he was in the flesh, when he was here, you know what he did? He put away the sins of everybody he died for. I mean, he put them away so that they are not. Now, there's a reason. God says their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. There's a reason God says this. You know why he can remember them no more? Because they're not there. God can't forget something if it's still there. I mean, God's got a better memory than you and I have. But if Christ Jesus the Lord put away my sins, you know this about them? They're gone. Now, he was in the world. But look what it says next. Now, that same world that was made by him. It says in verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made by him. That same world that he was in. This world that we're walking in right now. That same world was made by him. And this is given to remind us. He was in the world and the world was made by him. This is given to remind us that when he walked upon this world as the man Christ Jesus, this man is, was, and always will be God. When he walked upon this world as a man, he walked upon this world as God. While he walked through this world as a man with all the limitations of the flesh, and he had all of the limitations of the flesh. You think of the limitations our flesh brings on us. He had all these, sin accepted. Still, he was God over all, blessed forever. You know, when they came to arrest him, he said, "Whom seek ye?" He didn't say, "Let's run, fellas, let's escape." No, not in any way. He said, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And I think of the power of his reply. "I am." Remember what happened next? They fell backwards. He was letting them know, "You're not taking me. I'm giving you permission to do what you're doing because it's all part of my purpose. That's exactly what he was telling them at this time. He was no victim. They were made to fall backwards. And then they come. How do you reckon they felt as they arrested him at that time? They had some idea of who this was. They had some idea of the fact that they're not in control of this. He is. Why? When Pilate says to the Lord, "Don't you know? Speakest thou not to me? Don't you know that I have power to crucify you? And I have power to release you?" Oh, the power of his voice. "Thou couldst have no power at all over me, except it were given thee from above." Our Lord, as he was in this world, keeping God's holy law, bone of our bones, flesh of our flesh, he is very God of very God. He was in this same world that was made by him. That's a reminder to us of his absolute control. But look what it says about the world in verse 10. "And the world knew him not." This world that he was in, that he made, knew him not. They did not, and they would not recognize him. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. You know something that amazes me? The God-man grew up in a house with brothers and sisters, and none of them knew who he was. They didn't get it. They did not recognize him. The earth quaked, and the sun refused to shine in protest as their Creator was nailed to a cross. But the men who did it had no idea who he was. The world knew him not. And realize this. This is far more than a sin of ignorance. It's more than a failure to recognize who he was. How is this word generally used in the Scriptures? The world knew him not. Well, what did it mean when it said Joseph knew not Mary, his wife? He did not have an intimate relationship with her. He didn't love her. Or he, in that, it, love. When the Lord says, "Depart from me, I never knew you," doesn't mean I don't have any idea who you are. It means I never loved you. I never knew you to be one of mine. When the Scripture says to the husbands to dwell with your wife according to knowledge, it's not just talking about knowing the right stuff you're supposed to do. It's talking about love, this intimate relationship. The world did not love him. This world that he made, this world that he was in, did not love him. That is the crime of humanity. No love for Jesus Christ. That's the crime. Well, did the apostle say, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema." Maranatha. Let him be damned upon the return of the Lord. That's strong language, isn't it? Can you say amen to that? If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. But look what it says in verse 11. It says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." He came unto the Hebrews. He came unto the Jewish nation, national Israel. Now, I want you to remember, Sodom didn't have a Bible. Sodom didn't have a revelation from God. The Amalekites didn't have a great high priest. The Hittites and the Jebusites, they didn't have a sacrifice. They had no revelation from God. You think of the blessing that the Lord upon the nation of Israel. You remember in Exodus chapter 11, when he's going through in judgment to destroy the firstborn, he says, but against the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. He came to his own. What a blessed people, the nation of Israel. He came unto his own, this special people, and his own received him not. We did not have this man to reign over us. He comes as the only Savior of sinners. What good news this should have been to his people, this Jewish nation. And they rejected him. They said, give us Barabbas. Let this man be crucified. He came unto his own. His own received him not. And here's what God is all men guilty of. To fail to love. And to fail to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's my problem, that's your problem. That's what we're all at by nature. This is what God holds you and I guilty of. Whether we acknowledge it or not. Somebody says, well, I'm not going to acknowledge it. Well, it doesn't change the sentence, does it? If God says it, that's the way it is. This is where all men are guilty. To fail to love. To fail to receive, to fail to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it anyone that on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching to that big crowd that had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, that he said, God has made this same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Scripture says, they were pricked in their hearts. They were scared to death. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? We've crucified the Son of God. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. We're in His sovereignty. We're in a mess. What are we going to do? Now that's where you and I are by nature. That's why we're born into this world and our actions have proved it. Here's what God holds us guilty of. Failure to love His Son. Failure to receive His Son. Verse 12. We're given this word. But. Now this is a great word. Somebody once said, here's the definition of grace. But God. Remember that scripture in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath He quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins? Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath. Even at others. What are the next words? But God. Now there's God's grace. That's the difference. You know what the difference between the saved and the lost is? But God. Doesn't your heart own that as true? You know that's true concerning you, don't you? You know He's the difference. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. But. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. But Noah found grace. There's the difference. But God. Now what's it say? But as many as received Him. Now, it's true that the world did not know Him and His own did not receive Him, but there are some who did receive Him. But as many as received Him. And I like this phrase, as many as. But as many as received Him. That phrase means everybody in a particular group. Everybody in the group who received Him. As many as. It's found throughout the Scripture. For instance, in Acts chapter 13, verse 48, it says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Everybody in that group. As many as were ordained. I love the language. They were ordained by God before time began. They were ordained to eternal life. What did they do? They believed. What about this? As many as touched Him. As many as came into contact with Him. Everybody in that group, they were made perfectly whole. Peter said to those people on Pentecost, "For the promises to you and to your children, and all the world, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Now this phrase, "as many as," obviously refers to as many as. All in that particular group. All that God elected. You know, there's another place where the Lord said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Everybody in that group that I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So we see this phrase, "as many as," all this group. Now here's what they all did. Here's the "but." The "but" is God. But God, He did something for them. And because of that, "but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Now this obviously refers to the elect of God, but as many as, the ones that believe on His name. What is their description? How can they be described? Is there some physical marking that you can tell they're in this group, as many as, like as many as were ordained to eternal life and so on? How can you tell them? Well, what's our text say? As many as received Him. Now, this is what all of God's people do. This is what every believer does. They receive. They receive the Lord Jesus Christ. When God gives something, it's received. And if you didn't receive it, He never gave it. When He gives, it's received. And where He's not received, you can count on this, He never gave. Because those He gives His Son to, they receive Him. Now, what does it mean to receive Him? Now, this is the mark of being one of God's people, this group, as many as. If I'm in that, I'm somebody who receives the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we don't have to speculate about it. I'm thankful for that. Look what our text says in verse 12. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power," the right, the privilege, "to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." If I have received the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what that means? That means I really do believe on His name. Well, what's that all about? I really believe that the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, that name at which every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess, I really believe that His name brings me into the very presence of the Father, accepted and holy. I really believe that. I'm relying on His name. "Be ye kind, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake." That's why. Not for your sake. He doesn't do this in response to me or my faithfulness or my. He does this in response to His Son. "Be ye kind, tender heart, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake." That's why God will have mercy on you. Not for your sake. For Christ's sake. And I rely, and I really do believe on His name. I'm relying that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to be carried into glory on the coattails of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved wholly for His name's sake. And I'm relying on that. You know, the thief did. You know, the thief, when he was hanging on that cross, and the Lord revealed the gospel to him, and he looked at that one hanging on a tree. He didn't say, "Well, I'm glad I accepted you as my personal Savior." He didn't say, I know that I'm sure for heaven is if I say. He didn't say anything like that, did he? When he was hanging on that cross. But what did he say? He looked at that one hanging from the cross and he said, Lord. Everybody else was making fun of him, but the thief knew who he was. Lord. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He didn't even have a hint that maybe he'd be unsuccessful. He's the Lord. I know you're going to come back as a reigning king. I know that whatever you do must be successful. There's no way you can fail. Lord, if you just remember me. If you name my worthless name before the Father, nothing else needs to be said. The thief understood that. And bless God, I do too. I do too. I'm one of these fellows described here who's received Him. I believe on His name. I love that scripture in Psalm 106. Nevertheless, talks about all they did. He said, nevertheless, He saved them for His name's sake. That He might make His mighty power known. Peter said, there's none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. And what about those who do receive Him and believe on His name? Look what it says in verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. In believing. Now, I want you to listen real carefully. May God bless what I'm going to attempt to say right now. In believing, they were made sons. And not before then. In believing, they were made sons. Hath come the Son of God. What's it say here? In believing. Now I realize that logically, life has to come before faith. I understand that. You can't believe unless God gives you life. I understand all that. You all understand that. But chronologically, as far as the order of time, life and faith come at the precise same time. In believing, I'm a son of God. In trusting. And God's command to you, everybody in this room, please listen to me. Please get this. God commands you to trust His Son. Don't try to figure out if you're one of the elect. Don't try to figure out if you're a child of God. Believe on His Son right now. That is God's command to you. And your right to believe is not by figuring out you're one of the elect or waiting till some kind of lightning strikes or figuring out something that happens and that, well, I must be one of the elect. No! Believe on His Son. Right now. That's God's command. That's the command of the gospel. God commands all everywhere to repent. God's command to me and God's command to you is to trust His dear Son right now. And in believing, He said, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. But let's close with verse 13. Well, what a thing it is to be a son of God. I was reading the richest people in America. You've seen those lists. And you always see Sam Wall's kids. You know, the owner of Walmart. And they're listed in that like top 10 of the richest people in America. And those, I mean, I'm glad they got what they got. But they're paupers compared to a son of God. Joint heirs with Christ. What does any son of Adam have that I even want? I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm a son of God. I know. Well, I believe on His name. I surely do.
But look what it says in verse 13.
Which were born. Now this is real important. Of course it is. It's the Word of God. Everything in the Word of God is important. But I love the language. It doesn't say which were changed. It does not say which were influenced. It says which were born. Which were birthed. How much participation did you have in your birth? Did you help out any? Which were birthed. Not of blood. I'm not born again. I'm not birthed because my mom and dad are birthed. It's not because of any fleshly connection. Which were birthed, not of blood, not because of any fleshly connection. What's it say next? Not of the will of the flesh. Now please listen to this very carefully. The notion and idea of free will, that God loves everybody and Christ died for everybody and God the Holy Spirit is calling everybody and wants to save everybody, but it's up to your will as to whether or not you'll be saved. It's up to a decision that your will makes. That is a lie. There is no truth in that sentiment at all. Romans 9:16 says, it's not of him that willeth. How many different ways are there to take that? Nor that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. It's not of the will of the flesh. I also would like to say this regarding this. If I'm somebody that believes free will, I really don't even believe I'm a sinner. That's the bottom line. You know, the very idea of free will is an absurdity. Your will is controlled by your nature, isn't it? And if you have a sinful nature, you see the idea of free will is ridiculous. And I love the way the Lord points this out, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh. Free will is an absurdity. It's not found in the Scripture. Nor the will of man. If you're birthed by God, if you're born from above, it's not because a bunch of people got together and started praying for you. Now, I'm sure they did, but that's not why you were born again. It's not because men got together and said, we're going to have a revival. We're not going to stop until this many are saved. No. It's not of the will of man. They were born, what's the Scripture say? Of God. Of His own will begat He us through the Word of truth. And this is what the Lord uses to beget. Through the Word of His truth. Who are the children of God? Who are the sons of God? Am I one? Well, I know this. Those who are sons of God are those who have received Him. Well, who are they? Those who believe on His name. Do you believe on His name? You can answer that question. I do. Let's sing as a closing hymn, hymn number 452, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And we're going to have to go ahead and get on out of here during the song service. And I want to repeat to everybody how much I love you. Remember me. I hope to be with you, back with you soon. And love you. We'll stand and sing.